What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I have so much fun doing podcasts because I get to meet such amazing human beings. So make sure that you like, share, subscribe, all that beautiful stuff that you do to make sure we spread the word and all the goodness, because Lord knows we need a lot of goodness in this world. So I try to go around this amazing planet finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. So today I found the plan man. Okay, guys? The plan man. His name is Bruce. He is a problem solver focusing on insurance and wealth building in the wealth building space. He brings about 35 years of experience to the platform. So I cannot wait to talk to you. And he has a podcast too. It's called, Plan? Is that the name of the podcast?
Ask the plan man.
Ask the plan man. Okay. Right. So let's ask the plan man. Bruce, welcome to Straight Talk. How are you?
Thank you, Nina. I'm great. Happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And it's a hefty list of people that you got there. So I'm honored to be a chosen participant. So thank you.
I love bringing people on here that have good energy, they have a good heart. They just want to help. I mean, that's the kind of podcast I want to run. And absolutely. So I want to start with letting people know who you are. So the first question every time off the gate is, who are you, Bruce? Who are you?
Oh, man. It's the esoterical conversation of the world. Who are we and what are we doing here? So Bruce Weinstein, I hail from central New Jersey, but I live in South Florida now. My wife and I moved here about 9 years ago. We made the pilgrimage, as my Jewish ancestors for many decades have done before, and we came down 95. So we're down here in Delray Beach, Florida, and we are independent. We are independent insurance agents. And as I've described recently, I'm kind of a unicorn because I'm duly licensed in the life and health space, as well as the property and casualty space. Oh. So one of my taglines, Nina, is if it has an I, I'm your guy. Anything insurance related, we can help with. So
that's so funny. What got you into insurance, though? Why insurance?
Well, great question. So I started as a financial advisor in 1986 at Merrill Lynch back in New Jersey. And I spent 30 years as a wealth manager and evolved into the financial planning, always duly licensed in securities as well as insurance, but more annuities and life and estate planning type work. Okay. We never did health insurance. We never did Medicare, you know, those types of things. We did disability and stuff. But in 2016, unfortunately, I ran into a buzzsaw and I lost my business. I lost, it's a longer story. It's not a happy story, but we lost everything. I wear it on my sleeve and I take ownership of it because it's led me down this path. But 30-year career kind of came to an end and I lost my securities license. Again, nothing client related. It was a corporate dispute with Big Brother, if you will, and the machine, you know, machine ate up the little guy. But 2020, in the midst of the COVID, my wife and I started Weinstein Wealth Insurance Solutions and was able to rebuild a business from scratch and be able to focus in the insurance world and picking up the other license and just don't have to worry about the security side and the regulators in that regard. We help people with the investments, but we don't do it. We don't sell advice. We don't manage money. We do some annuity work, but I'll partner with, like, I've got tons of colleagues from my 35 years that still do that work. So I'll bring them in. If Nina says, hey, I got money for you. I got a rollover. I need to have this money managed. I can still guide them and give them an opinion, but I can't implement it. So I'll bring in one of my colleagues. But yeah, it's
a tale of. No, I was gonna say, are you open of touching a little bit about what you've gone through? I don't need to know
absolutely
the details, but sure. I do need to know what you went through as a human, right? Because I think that one of the things that I'm always trying to touch when I have my guest on is what they've been through, because I think that inspires that next person who's maybe going through something right now. And like, you know, this world is really kind of cray cray right now, and it's it's been very heart wrenching to see some of the things that are going on in our world. And I know that people are feeling discouraged, a little beat up, losing a lot of things. So tell me about that moment, right? Because if you don't mind touching that, I'd like to kind of know, you know, kind of like what did you feel? What was that like for you? And what was the moment when you said, I can't be here anymore? I can't live this anymore. Tell me a little bit about that.
So The backstory, in essence, is I was recruited by a major brokerage firm during the financial crisis, and I had a very successful business. I managed over $100 million of assets. I was one of the top producers, you know, nationally, made good money. And my opinion is they conspired to recruit me to steal my business. Mm-hmm. They used their power to sabotage and steal my business. I mean, that's how, as bluntly as I could say it is, in my opinion, is they, because I'm not the only one. There's others that have happened in the industry with the same firm over that window of time. So they saw an opportunity and they seized it, and it led to that downward fight spiral. And I speak about it. I'm talking at an event next week, but May 13th, 2016, we got that final phone call that it pretty much was a done deal, and we were going to be out of the business. And so that was a very certainly disheartening phone call. By November of 2016, I had facilitated the sale of what I had left, had to relinquish my license, and we had to file bankruptcy. We lost our house. Like, I mean, we pretty much suffered through any person's worst nightmares of financial downward fall, you know, going from making almost $1,000 a year to zero. Mm-hmm. And then at 53 years of age, I had to figure out how to reinvent myself. What was I going to do with myself? And drove Uber and tinkered around, and obviously had to deal with, you know, the fallout and selling our home and selling possessions and figuring out all of it. Yeah. And I spent 2 years in the property and casualty space. That's how I got my property and casualty license. So that's where like your auto and homeowners would mm-hmm. be on that side. So, you know, you think of State Farm, Farmers, Allstate, you know, that's property and casualty. And then life insurance, health insurance, Medicare requires the other license. So we had that license, and then I picked up the property and casualty, and I was recruiting agents, and I was training and helping them build their business, and thought I would be a little bit higher on the hierarchy and working for an agency, all commission, no salary, no expenses, all on the come, as they say, like build it and eventually you'll make some money. And it was, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of opportunities for 30-year veterans that can't do what I did, you know, and tongue in cheek, like, nobody wants to hire a middle-aged white guy these days. So, and I'm not experienced. Like, I can't move into the tech space. I can't move into the pharmaceutical space. Like, what am I supposed to do? That's why I drove mm-hmm. Uber. I'm like, well, I could just start hustling and make a couple dollars and figure it out and decompress. And so this opportunity came about, all right, somewhat correlated in the insurance world, but, you know, train, recruit, help other agents build their business. And then mm-hmm. I would be rewarded with overrides. And that barely lasted 2 years. And the owner sold the agency and basically removed all of us and took my overrides and said, see you later.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And
wow.
So now I'm 4 years removed from what I was doing, put 2 years in to try and build a new business of some fashion, and then got the rug pulled out again. So the epiphany kind of came about. We had a neighbor of a former client call and ask for help with, again, it was a financial advisory client. And I'm like, look, you know, I'm not able to do that anymore. I'm happy to talk you through your situation. We're on the phone for 2 hours. I brought in a financial person for them. And, you know, we did some of the insurance stuff, but my wife was listening to this conversation, Nina, and she's like, I miss that guy. Cause it's been 4 years since I had those kind of conversations. And that was the big crime, was like my 30 plus years of knowledge and information and helping people was being taken away. If I helped 500 people over my career, how many more people families could I mm-hmm. helped mm-hmm. On the next 30 years? Right. So that was the big crime. And so the epiphany was that when I lost my ability, I was a fee-based financial planning advisor, which basically means I led with planning, problem solving. I have nothing to sell, just problems to solve.
Yeah.
So I could offer you everything. You need this, I have it. You need that, I have it. I didn't have to say, put this round peg in a square hole. Mm-hmm. So a lot of planning people, insurance people, investment people, they're a one-trick pony. They only have one thing. So if you're not, I have a blue mic and you have a red mic. If you're looking for a red mic and I only sell blue mics, I either have to talk you into buying a blue mic or I don't get any business.
Right.
But if I sell yellow, if I sell a yellow mic, a green mic, a black mic, a white mic, so our microphones, I'll give you whatever you need. So when I lost the ability to offer everything, I moved totally away from doing anything in that space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And after that 4 years of being removed, that epiphany was, I'd rather be part of me than none of me.
That's good.
And I was denying myself being myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for those who, I don't know if this is audio as well as video, but
yes, it is.
I lost 65 pounds since I started my new business. I was fat, out of shape. I'm 60 years old. I was 280 pounds. I had no purpose in my life. I didn't know what to do.
Right, right.
And when all of this came about and I got back engaged and, okay, I could make this work in the insurance world as it is. And all of a sudden I'm helping people. I'm engaging with clients again. I'm getting opportunities, referrals, whatever. Like, life and purpose took over again.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I got to get myself back in. I wanted to be back. I wanted to be on camera. Like, you go on Zoom and your face is three times as big as it is. And you're just, you hate seeing yourself. You don't want to be construed that way. I started doing speaking engagements. I'm doing one next week, as I mentioned, and I want to look better. I used to look better. Right. Wall Street look, you know, 3-piece suits and custom shirts and, you know, suits and ties.
Yeah.
And,
but you know, trauma happened. There was trauma, you know, absolutely. There was trauma and shame and, you know, and hurt and anger. And I'm sure you went through all of those because that is traumatic, right? When something gets ripped out from under you like that. And I could see why you kind of turned completely and then, you know, just went into, Uber driving or trying to survive, right? Survival, yeah, right? That's survival. What happens next.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then to not see, wait, I still have 30 plus years of knowledge and wisdom and grit and know-how. But that's what happens when trauma does that, right? It steals from you. It takes things from you. And then when you feel shame and overwhelmed, because let's be real, that's a real thing, right? Sure. When you're going from wealth management and helping people and you're living the dream, right? And then that gets pulled from you. There is shame that comes in, like, oh shoot, nobody's going to want to work with me. You know, look at what happened. I have a friend of mine who is a financial advisor and she's amazing at it, but she had to file bankruptcy a few years ago from, horrible stuff that happened. Sure. And she was so ashamed. Like it was hard for her to get back on that horse, you know? So I can understand that. Thank you for sharing that, because I know that there are people who go through this kind of stuff and just can't quite seem to climb their way out.
And, I would say the masses would be, the odds would certainly have been against me compared, to the severity of what happened. And, you know, you pick up the paper every day and you see people who gave in, you know, killed themselves, jumped off buildings, a divorce, a legal action. It's just easier to quit. Well, I didn't come from that. Like, if I may, and it'll be, again, part of my talk next week. But so it was Friday the 13th. And I went home and I had to tell my wife this information. And it was not a good evening, right? Like, I got to deal with her. And the next morning, a high school friend called. And this will give you a sense of my wiring. My friend called and said, did you hear about so-and-so? Not to use names. And his is another high school friend of ours and somebody I grew up with since we're 9 years old. His daughter, the same night, Friday the 13th, was on semester break at school and got hit by an SUV crossing the street. And the family was running down to the hospital and they didn't know if she was going to make it. And he would keep me posted. And she was 19 years old. I'll tip it. She survived. But nobody knew, right? She had severe brain damage. And so I hung up the phone and I said, keep me posted. I'll be praying and, you know, we'll stay in touch. And I went downstairs and I said to my wife, very simply, that person's name, his daughter, I said, do you think they would trade places with us?
Mm.
Would you trade places with them?
Mm.
We have our health. Our kids are healthy. most of our parents are deceased at this point anyway. But I said to her, and this was the words that I said, Nina, it's just money. It's going to suck, but it's just money. Like we lost money. We didn't lose our life. I didn't lose the ability to go out and make money. My children are healthy now. They're healthy then. And my friend that I'd known for 45 years didn't know if his daughter was going to survive the weekend.
Mm.
And my attitude was like
perspective, isn't it?
It's perspective. But that's the path. That was my 53-year journey to get to that point of my history, my baggage, my struggles, you know, parents divorcing, mother dying young. I got divorced. You know, my wife decided she didn't want to stay married and left me and the kids. Like I've had my share. And I just wake up every day and get back to it. Like it's not, you lose your mother at 22 years of age and you know, be raised by a single mom and go through the hell of what cancer does. Not much more is going to bother you in life.
So I just figured out,
all right, it sucks. Our dream home, we'll have to lose it. You know, we're renting. We're not living anywhere near the levels we used to live, but I still eat. I have a home, a roof. Like it's all perspective.
It is.
I come from very humble, lower middle class upbringings. And there's a sign behind me somewhere. It says, I started with nothing and I still have most of it.
Right.
You come in naked and you leave naked.
I like that.
Along the way is what are you going to do on the ride?
Yeah.
And you're going to make money. You're going to lose money. You're going to spend money. The bottom line, you ain't taking it with you.
So what is it that you think, or what is it what is it that you tell people that are going through that right now, right? Because you're dealing with a lot of insurance and you're dealing with life insurance. Yeah. You're dealing with a lot of like, you know, these things can be very serious, these insurance, sure. Topics and claims and all of that. So how do you get people that you work with through those times? What's like the best advice or the thing you give them?
Well, I think there's two sides potentially to your question. So one is how do you get them to take out the insurances that they need appropriately?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of disconnect of, I don't need it. It's not going to happen to me. You know, I don't need health insurance. I don't need life insurance. And so you have to give them the conversations and the visions of what would happen if, where would you be? Where would your family be if you didn't return?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Because a lot of them are people wrapped up in their own world, their own selfishness. Well, even if they have a family, you know, kids and a spouse, like they just don't think it through of like, well, gee, what would happen? Right? Like I lost my home because of the bankruptcy and the loss of my income. But if that was 5 years removed and I died, would my wife have been able to keep the house?
Right.
And the lifestyle, if it was 15 years earlier and my kids hadn't completed college, would money have been there to pay for college, pay for the mortgage, allow my wife to keep the house and put food on the table? Well, that's what life insurance protects.
Right.
And a lot of young families don't have the financial wherewithal to survive. Look, we live in a very debt heavy country. You go take a mortgage, you go take a car loan, you lease a car. You're financing your cell phones.
Yes.
How many people pay cash for their cell phones?
Mm-hmm.
It's $30 a month. Okay. And we'll get you coming back. And every 2 years we'll get you on the phone and you're constantly paying $30 or $50 or whatever it is.
True.
Right.
So true.
So when does it stop? The consumer is caught up in this cycle of constantly putting money out. And then, well, if it hits the fan, now what?
Right.
So that's the life insurance side of things. You know, the flip side, I think, you know, question is, you know, well, what happens now to the grieving widow when she gets that $1 million check that I put in place? And then what do we do from there? And that's a whole separate, you know, conversation and strategy. But you didn't, in my world, if you're dealing with me, we don't just make up random numbers. Like, how did you determine you needed $732,035 of life insurance?
Right.
Because that was the calculation. Like there's now a lot of people just say, well, give me $1 million. And then I'm like, well, let's just do some quick math. Your mortgage is 600,000. College today at any reasonable school is going to be 40 grand, 50 grand. We got friends whose kids are paying $90,000. Miami, NYU, Georgetown, they're $90,000 a year now.
Wow.
Okay. I have friends that are like, we put money in our college savings, but it's only going to cover 1 or 2 years. Like we didn't prepare for a $350,000 college bill. Well, that's where the costs are now. And should you deprive your kid going to NYU or Harvard because you as a parent failed to save properly? Your kid worked hard to get there. So that's a big bug of mine. Like your kids should go where your kids earned the ability to go. The parents can figure out how to pay for it, right? That's just my soapbox. But, you know, why should your kid go to community college because you failed to plan and not pay for Harvard? Your kid worked hard to get into Harvard, Nina. Let them go, right? Because those doors and those opportunities is what you're buying. Not to go down that. So now if I'm sitting with a young couple with two kids, you know, a newborn and a two-year-old, now I have to put them in the future. Where do you see your kids going? Where do you want to have them go? We're going to save for college out of your paycheck. But at the same time, if you don't show up and come home one day, how much money do you want in the pot to take care of that responsibility?
Right.
And now you're like, okay, well, I got a two-year-old. So 16 years from now, 90 grand, Harvard is more like 200 grand. I need $2 million just to put my kids through college if I'm really want to prepare for that.
Right.
But term insurance for a 35-year-old is super cheap. Like it's cheaper than their cell phone payment. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, term insurance would only cover them for how many years?
Up to 30 in most cases, but 20. Yeah. If I got an 18-year-old, I'm sorry. If I have a 2-year-old and a newborn, I got to plan for 18 years to get them to college.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've got 16 to 18 years to physically save that money. And guess what? Not too many people are going to be in position to save for an Ivy League education out of their paycheck, right? Realistically. So, you know, whether it's junior college, community college, local schools, in-state, whatever, there's still 30, 40 grand in today's economy, I think. So, you know, whatever it is, I'm not passing judgment on where and how your kids go to school, but we're talking about filling the gap of the vulnerability until the kids have achieved that age and objective.
Right.
So I could buy 20-year term insurance for my newborn to coincide. Well, now the insurance will run out when they're 20. I should have saved or gotten through that point. Now, if God forbid I died and they were a junior in college and I didn't have that life insurance, well, what did I have?
Right.
Maybe I got additional insurance later. Maybe I got insurance through work. Like, again, it's a needs analysis. So the mortgage didn't go away probably in 20 years. Right. So, you know, you might have some other insurance for the mortgage. You might have insurance that was earmarked towards your significant other's ability to stay home. Like, you know, I grew up in that age where, my mother worked, but you know, in the 50s and 60s, the traditional family was dad worked, mom stayed home.
Right.
Dad dies. Is mom going to go get a job making the kind of money that dad did back then? Now, yes. But back then, no. Mom wasn't some executive. Yeah. Right. If dad was a doctor, mom can't turn around and go to medical school in a half an hour and become and take over his practice. Right. So again, what do you want to have happen? Begin with the end in mind, Stephen Covey. Well, what do you want to have happen? If this happened to Nina, what do you want to have happen? If this happened to Nina's spouse, what do you want to have happen?
Right.
Because both sides have to be assessed. People are like, I don't need insurance on my wife. She don't work. Yeah. You going to take care of the kids?
Right.
You have three kids under the age of 10. You make all the money. Now your wife gets sick and dies on you. God forbid anybody. What's going to happen now? Who's raising your kids? Who's getting them off the bus? Who's making their lunches? Who's taking care of, you were Mr. Working Bee, working 15-hour days and had your wife taking care of it. Who's replacing that?
Right.
So who's paying for it? Where's the money coming from? And then B, do you really want a stranger raising your kids, Nina?
Right.
It's one thing if it's my spouse, but it's different now. And you can't rely on your mother-in-law, right? Not everybody has that built-in family. But so I'd want, and again, you got to know my background. I was Mr. Mom for 4 years. When my kids were born, my ex-wife, at the time my wife, didn't want to be a stay-at-home mother. And again, my folks were divorced when I was 8. My mother worked. I was home alone. right? We had babysitters. So when my first kid was conceived and we talked about, she's like, well, I don't want to be a stay-at-home mom. And I'm like, well, then I'm going to stay home.
Great.
And I walked away, and this is 1991, I walked away from making $100,000 a year as a stockbroker to stay home with my kids. And so when my ex eventually wanted to be my ex, I got the kids, I got the house, I got child support, like she left.
Right.
So these things are priorities to me. So if I wasn't in the business and somebody said, what do you want to have happen? I would have been like, well, I need enough money to take care of me and the kids and the home if my wife died, so I could continue to stay home and be with the kids.
Right. Right.
Right. So it's, what do you want? That's the conversation with people. You see, I'm getting excited and passionate, but it's like, what do you want? And then kind of, sometimes it's a coming to Jesus conversation of like, you're not being, your words and your actions aren't aligned. And I'm here to tell you where you're off. I'm not a yes person. I'm not your yes man. I'm polite, but I'm going to say, Nina, that what you're saying to me doesn't add up. It's not
right.
If that's what you really want to do, then this is what you should be doing instead.
Now, when you guide them into like, this is what you should be doing instead, are you guiding them also like kind of like telling them what the difference is? Because I know there's insurance can be kind of tricky, right? There's so many different things. So there's like term insurance, but whole life insurance. And then there's, you know, whole life insurance that, you know, people use sometimes to get money out, you know, money from it and all that. So where do you land in all of that? Like, how do you work the insurance? Do you like term? Do you like both? Do you do both? How does that look?
Again, it's, you're basically saying, go to page 13 and read paragraph 4. And that's what you're supposed to do. And that's just not, at least how Bruce operates, is everything's tailored.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a financial tailor, if you will. And so we're going to discuss the needs. We're going to break down the needs. We're going to drill deep to make sure everything conceptually is understood. Then we're going to talk about the implementation and the products that are available. Okay. And then obviously I have to be in tune to budget. Like, what's the point of giving you a $5,000 a month whole life policy when a $100 a month term policy really takes care of the situation for that particular
client? Okay. So, right? so you can help them in either. Okay. That's good.
Sure.
Okay, that's what, okay, great.
Sure. Here's the problem. And it's not that I'm trying to diss anybody in the industry that does this differently, but again, there are people who are going to come in and say, I sell blue markers. And I'm going to tell you why, Nina, you need a blue marker. They're not going to say, oh, by the way, I can do a yellow marker for, like, they're trying to sell what's going to put money in their pocket.
Right.
And the key word there is they're selling. I'm not selling you anything. I'm going to solve your problem. And I'm going to do it in, again, I'm waiting to get reinstated. So I have to say this cautiously, but I was a certified financial planner in 2011. I finally passed and got my certification. So nobody can take that away. But with the bankruptcy and everything I went through, I'm not allowed to use the term and hold myself out to the public as one. But their ideology is we have fiduciary responsibility to our clients, meaning put the clients first, which is like your doctor's Hippocratic oath, do no harm. So if I'm a practicing and I can practice without calling myself one, but if I walk that walk of always being your client-centric first and solving your problems, then it's not a matter of, oh, what's going to pay me the most commission and I can get Nina to buy this.
Right,
it's
right.
What's Nina's needs and am I serving her by giving her the best solution for that circumstance? You could make the argument why you could buy whole life, but do you really need whole life for that situation?
Right.
Now, if somebody says, I want to do it because this, this, and this, and it matches up, like, don't get me wrong. I've done plenty of permanent insurance. I do estate planning. I do private pension work. You know, the infinite banking concept is a little bit, you know, out there in some vein for people. It's not that I'm against it. It's just people may not fully understand what they're doing with that terminology. But again, it's just a label and a concept on a life insurance product. That's all it is. Be your own banker in infinite banking. So again, if you have enough money and have enough liquidity and you want to be your own banker and utilize that system, great. We're happy to set it up for you. But if you don't need life insurance at the end of the day for you and your family, you're paying for life insurance.
Right.
I mean, it's a life insurance product, so it has costs. And if you need a $2 million policy to put $1 million of cash in something to borrow back and forth and do real estate transactions and lend yourself money, so be it. But you're still paying for $2 million of life insurance.
Yeah. Of course.
There's a cost. So yeah, I'm saving money by lending the money to myself, but what's the cost of insurance? Mm-hmm, and a true advisor is going to have that conversation both ways to be prudent to their client. And I don't know if that conversation is had. Again, I know plenty of people that do it and their colleagues and friends. I'm not trying to be disparaging, but like I said, people are more like, here's the blue marker and let's get you a blue marker. So,
Got it.
But we do a lot of health insurance. We do Medicare. Great. So, you know, life insurance is one component. I think a bigger area that really confuses people these days is health insurance. And so we do Obamacare, we do group for small businesses, and we do private health insurance. And so people don't realize they have other options besides the Obamacare platform. And frankly, they don't understand what they're getting on the Obamacare platform. And they don't understand how health insurance works.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if, you know, when these companies make these insurance policies, if they make it confusing on purpose, right? Because these things are confusing. They are. You know, and especially if you're out there trying to like figure it all out by yourself, that's really super difficult. So it just sounds to me like you're definitely the plan man, the man with the plan. And so I'm glad that you came on and, you know, thank you for sharing your story and history, because I love a comeback story, a story that shows that you can be resilient and make it through these things. Don't give up on life. Don't stay in depression. Don't stay stuck. There are ways out. And a lot of it is utilizing already our knowledge base. And that's what I love about your story. So thank you for sharing that with us.
No, my pleasure. You know, the old line, youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah.
And as you get older and wiser, you realize, and then time becomes more precious. And so because my mother passed at a fairly young age for me and for her, I've pretty much lived life very full as best I could. Mm-hmm. And I used to be teased a lot. And my friends are like, you know, how do you keep going? How do you do that? And I'm like, you know what? You sleep when you're dead. You sleep when you're dead. Like you have a finite amount of time and there's so much to do. And look, you got to take pauses and you got to sleep and, you know, but the point is that there's a journey here. And as I hit my 60s now, like realizing like that hourglass is winding down and what I'm doing, the reason I have the podcast, I'm working on a book, I'm working on online training. Like I want to be able to leave a footprint and a legacy of everything that I've compiled. I don't want to self-proclaim my wisdom, but the things that I've done and distilled for others and helping them while I still can draw breath, I want to capture that people can go to my podcast and listen to episodes 20 years from now. They can go to my online training. They can pick up my books, hopefully a series of books. And that information is going to be there in perpetuity when I'm dust. And so that's what I felt. And this is where it comes back. And thank you again for the kind words is, my resurrection, my rebirth comes from, if you think of it, a dying person getting the reprieve, a cancer patient being cured, a suffocating person getting air. I was dead and buried. I was out of the business for 4 years, struggling to find a new identity.
Right.
And then I had that window open up. I could breathe again and I could be Bruce again and I can go out and help people again. And so that became so prolific to me of like, okay, I got to get busy again. Like, because at some point it will be permanent. Right. And so you get that glimpse and I'll give you one more piece and I know you want to wrap up through my process. This is a great, anybody I could say sales or otherwise. And this was a great lesson I got very early in my career. And they do it with salespeople and everybody should do it for themselves, regardless of what business they're in. Nina, go write your own obituary. What do you want your obituary to say? Mm-hmm. And I've had that exercise in the past. I got to live that exercise. Literally, we had to get or went after a collection of letters to the government regulators who were taking my license and the CFP board who stripped me of my credentials. And I got 40, 50, 60 letters from clients, obviously some friends mixed in, colleagues. And it was like reading your own obituary.
Wow. That's powerful.
The things that people said, I mean, in tears, people that I, my fraternity brothers that, you know, were clients or friends or whatever, like wrote stuff. And like, I broke out in tears. I'm like, is that how you really see me or feel about me? And he goes, 100%.
Oh my God. That's so good.
And you just melt. So the blessing out of this, one of the many that I'm taking out of what this really bad situation came about, was I got to experience my own obituary and That's read so these great. Things. And now all it did was enhance my relationships with those people because I got to see how they view me. And we don't get that opportunity. Like most people are not going to draw back that curtain and expose themselves like that and give that vulnerability. And so it was, it was blown. And so, you know, that's the kind of stuff where my purpose and intent now, as I shared, is to just make sure I can touch as many, the podcast touches more people, hopefully even more people than I could ever do individually
with my
clients one-on-one.
Yeah.
This is now en masse. This is books and online training and speaking engagements. Like I can move en masse.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have done that if I was in the shoes I was in 2016 because the industry wouldn't let you be that person. And now I can. So in some sense, I hope someday financially I can recover to where I was, and I'm sure I will. But as my wife and I say, we're going to look back and say they did the biggest favor for you, kicking you out of the business.
Yeah.
And so I that's my path, Nina. That's where I'm going. And so, but thank you
man, Bruce.
Boom.
I had no idea that I was going to have such a phenomenal conversation with somebody who does insurance, like finance and insurance.
I'm not that boring, make the donut guy.
No, you know, this was really, really touching for me. This is a really phenomenal conversation. And I know that those who are listening are inspired and also have wisdom. And I'm sure that they are also thinking of, okay, this, and I mean, this is the type of insurance guy you're going to want to work with. Right. So I need to know, or they need to know, we all need to know, Bruce, how do we get in contact with you, man? Because it's hard, right? It is. It's hard when you're out here trying to find insurance companies and stuff, and people keep trying to sell you the blue pen when you know that's not what you need. Right. So I think what you're doing is phenomenal work. And I thank you very much for being real, honest, raw, authentic, because that is what I like, but also what I know people really need. So Bruce, go ahead, give it to us. How do we find you, man?
So let me frame it this way real quick, Nina. It costs nothing to work with us. We don't charge an hourly rate or a fee. Whatever you implement, health insurance, Medicare, life insurance, they pay us. Okay. I don't set the price. You, as your physical, you know, health and determination, like your car insurance, you know, whatever you do with us, you set the rates as the consumer, not us, right? It's your driving history. So if you're a smoker, your insurance rates are going to be higher. You're a non-smoker and you're healthy, your insurance rates will be better. All right. So I don't make the prices up. It's a standard and set, and they pay us. So it costs nothing to talk with us. It costs nothing to work with us. So I always like to frame that for people because like, oh, this guy's going to charge. No, it's like, I could put you on Obamacare. Obamacare will pay me. I can put you on Medicare. Medicare will pay me. It doesn't matter who you work with. What you're going to get is hopefully what you're seeing here is the genuine, we care and we want to find the best solutions and educate you. Real simple, planman.tv. will get you to my YouTube channel, Ask the Plan Man, my podcast, videos, shorts, reels, all educational, no products, no commercials, no advertisements. It's just self-help And then if you, you know, want to talk to us further, 844-PLAN-MAN. It's toll-free number, 844-PLAN-MAN. And then anything, ask the Plan Man. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. Just type in Ask the Plan Man. Mm-hmm. You'll find me.
That is so good. You know, when you said, I'm not selling you anything, you don't have to pay me. It reminds me, I don't know if you know Alex Hormozi. Do you know him?
Sure.
Alex
Hormozi. I'm listening to his newest book. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I have his book, actually. I'm reading it. But what I love about him is that's how he starts all of his episodes, where he'll say, I have nothing to sell you. And I'm saying that to say that might be something you might want to think about, because we don't know. I didn't know that. Right. Mm. So a lot of us don't know that you don't have to pay you up front. So
sure.
I mean, it's just a suggestion, but I just feel like you should say, I'm the Plan Man and I have nothing to sell you, you know, yeah. Like I have nothing for you to purchase here or nothing for you, you know, to pay me for. And I think that could be really powerful. And the reason I say that is just my 2 cents before I log out is that I just feel like that's something we don't know, Bruce. Honestly, I didn't know that, you know, and I think that's a powerful piece. Yeah,
there's a line I use in my commercials, and it's a new word. I demystify the complicated world of insurance, because people just don't, like you just said, I didn't know it doesn't cost me something to actually work with that professional. Now you go to a financial advisor who's managing your money. There's fees and commissions. You talk to an attorney. You talk to an accountant. There's fees. Right. Insurance people are paid by the industry. Again, as I said, so if somebody's adding on a charge to implement insurance, then I would question what they're doing and why, because that's not the norm.
See, I wouldn't have known. So thank you for saying that. And thank you for giving us the information to follow you, because I think that's going to be a big piece for people that don't know, like I didn't know. So thank you for that, Bruce. I appreciate you. Thank you for hanging out with us. I love you. Nina. Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Guys, thank you so much for hanging out. Isn't he cool? I told you. Oh my God, he's such a good guy. I mean, we went over. That's how much I like talking to him. I didn't even look at the time. I'm so sorry about that, Bruce. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Make sure that you follow the Plan Man, because I'm telling you, I mean, just what he left on the table today with who he is and how authentic he is and how much he wants to help you. Stop wasting time thinking you still have tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. So take care of your family, because I know you love them. So make this happen. Get on with the Plan Man. All right. And make sure that you guys get this going. I love you so much. Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.